You're listening to the Nuff Said podcast, real strategies for customer success.
Hey, Chris and Nick here, co-founders at Nuff Said. And today we spoke with Adam at Clue about his sophisticated hiring process that he's implemented across four different companies.
And here's what we learned. Step one is to hire proven anchors to serve on your leadership team. Then you build around those anchors with unproven, high potential people that challenge the status quo. You provide a transparent career path and many options for those teams, and then create an environment where people earn the right to be promoted. So that's a TLDR. Let's dive in.
I'm Adam Houghton, VP Customer Success at Clue, former Senior Director Customer Success at Hootsuite, and prior to that, Chief Operating Officer at a startup that was acquired by Bullhorn, a Vista Equity portfolio company back in 2012. A bit about Clue. Competition is everywhere. Everyone has competitors, yet there hasn't been a system of record for this type of information before that's needed by revenue teams, product teams, et cetera. So Clue bridges the gap between competitive intelligence and revenue enablement to help you own the podium in your market.
Awesome. All right. And I think just for fun, let's start with what's something fun or unusual about yourself that we might not learn in the normal course of working together?
One thing you definitely wouldn't know is that I had a stint as a mascot back post university when I was still in school trying to get money to pay for different things. So I was a mascot for a stint for the Lottery Corporation, which was actually so much fun. It's pretty liberating when you're in this costume. No one knows who you are. You're not allowed to talk, and you can just be someone who maybe you normally wouldn't do, right? So normally wouldn't be. So I'm not the type who's going to be dancing in the street, but put a costume on me, put me outside a gas station running a promotion, and that was me. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Great. Well, you know, you mentioned Vista Equity Partners. You learned an initial kind of hiring framework from Vista, and then you've adopted it and enhanced it over the years at Hootsuite and now at Clue. So can you start us off just by walking us through, you know, what does that model look like? What are the steps in the process, and how can we learn from your experience there?
Yeah. So for me, it's all about future-proofing the talent pool by investing in high potential talent. And that gives you a really strong bench you can draw from. So whether it's recent graduates, people early in their careers, people looking to make career transitions into customer success, we try to hire those types of people who have 3 to 4 years of runway, ideally, with the ability to grow into bigger roles. Because the reality is we need to be hiring people who are able to do jobs 2 to 3 times bigger, maybe even a year from now, than what we're asking them to do today. And especially in startups where hopefully you're growing super fast year over year. So that's the model that I learned there that I've since put into place and evolved to try to make my own a bit.
And it sounds great that you can hire people that have, you know, at least a couple of years of runway. How do you detect that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's a couple of things. One is, how do you get people to buy into that too? So that typically starts with, regardless of the level, I think, how do you paint a picture of what the job may be in the future compared to what it is today? So even if I think of myself joining Clue, small company compared to Hootsuite, a bigger company, it might feel like or look like on paper, you're taking a step back in responsibility of number of people, revenue under management, those types of things. But it's more about 3 years from now, is this going to be a bigger job than what I had and a bigger challenge? And so when I think about individuals, it's the same thing. So that ability to detect it would be, do they have a history of progression? Do they like to break away from the status quo? Are they the type of people who went to university because it was expected of them? Or did they go to university and they studied something totally different than what was expected of them? And it's more the latter type of people that we would be looking for. People who want to break away from the status quo, they're more likely to be comfortable getting outside their comfort zone. And that's what you need in order to grow your career.
How do you get buy-in from executives to hire really entry-level folks into roles that they may be able to perform, but haven't necessarily proved it before?
Well, if it's a CFO, that's probably an easier conversation because it's a lower cost. It's a lower cost hire. But I think there are you know, if we can identify talent and say with the right investment on our side too, providing the framework that these will be the future senior people in the company, that's going to help with retention. And one of the things I would say at Clue specifically is our leadership team is very experienced for the level or stage of startup we are. So we've all been through the trenches. And so we like to think we can see around corners that maybe we couldn't have 10 years ago. That has its good and negatives, maybe sometimes we're maybe a little too cautious and don't just try stuff, right? So I also think it's this element of you have to be able to fill roles quickly, right? And that's for different reasons, either because we're growing or because there's turnover. And if you can have this bench you can constantly promote from, you're reducing ramp time, you're de-risking productivity and business disruption, especially for customer-facing roles, I would say. And then you just keep that, you keep filling the talent pipeline so that next wave of talent can develop. And then that to the CFO comment before, it does, the reality is it does keep your costs down. So if you can hire externally and develop that talent, build and retain the tribal knowledge, that's great. It's also usually a lot more expensive to hire externally, right? Especially in today's market, CS especially is so competitive. There's way more demand out there than supply. So we really want to be known as being a talent factory for people.
I think I have two follow-up questions there, Adam. One is, what types of questions can you ask to determine whether or not someone naturally challenges the status quo? That's the first question.
Yeah, so we have, when I look at, and some things that I've learned from different types of assessments over time is trying to understand the different traits or characteristics that someone has. So there's different things we'd be looking for in terms of is how assertive is this person or not? What is the pace that they typically will see themselves out? Are they more reserved or outgoing? So there's all these different questions we can ask. When it comes to going outside of maybe the core role or breaking the status quo, it's like things like, what have they done outside of their role? What have they created themselves? What would they say they have their fingerprints on? Or what would other people say they have their fingerprints on? And you can tell by, usually when you dig enough, you can tell by the stories people are telling if they have actually done it themselves or if they've just seen it happen. Both can be valuable, but at our stage, it's not about we need people with the ideas. We need people who just want to come in and put their own fingerprints on things and get shit done.
Nice. And how do you think about the right balance between, you know, more junior talent with a lot of potential and senior talent to help guide and mentor them? How do you know when you've struck the right balance?
Yeah, it's a great question. So my early objective at Clue, so when I started, the CS team was pretty small, is even wrong word. It was small. There were like four people, right? And then today we're over 20, just a year later. So my early objective was really to try to find what I would call more who are the anchors on the team? Who are the people we can potentially build around? So fortunately, there were some folks internally already, but then from a hiring perspective, early hires were about finding those experienced people because we didn't necessarily have that baseline yet. And then now recently I've promoted four individuals into leadership positions and I know they're ready because they're already doing the job to an extent. They're already the ones who are raising their hand, taking on the extra work, going out of their way to get things done. And maybe most importantly, if I were to ask the team who are the leaders or the go-to people, those are the people they say. And so I think anytime we're promoting from within and knowing people are ready, those folks, especially the direct line managers, they have to have the credibility of the team. So if they've done the job and people trust them, I have pretty good confidence that they're going to be effective in that.
But how about the other side of that equation? How much rope do you give someone that's entry level that you thought was high potential before you either make a call to promote or to move on?
I heard this mentioned on another podcast. I think it was somebody from Flexport. And they were talking about when someone fails in a role, you're the manager, it's either there's either one or two things that happen. Either you're a bad hiring manager or you're a bad coach. And so I would look at that first and try to understand, like, is it the person? Is it the environment? If it's the environment, that's within our control to change. If it's the person, I think you have to move pretty quickly. There is a balance there where you want to make sure you, like, if you know there's a problem, probably the rest of the team knows there's a problem too. And you don't want that to fester, right? So there's some things you need to move more quickly on, but sometimes it's also they're the right person for the company. They're just in the wrong seat. So we also have examples of people at Clue, even folks who have started on the SDR team as an example. And maybe it's like, you know what, that's just not the right fit for them. They're not going to move into the natural progression might be an AE role, but they'd be great on the customer side. Let's move them there. So I think you have to look at all those things, but if anything touches bad fit on the culture side, it's got to be right away. Otherwise, we're taking the approach that if this is the right person we want on the bus, what's the right seat?
So one of Vista's most controversial processes is their cognitive assessment test, the Wonderlic. Yeah. So how have you handled both rolling it out to existing employees and also letting new hires that they'll need to do this as part of the hiring process?
Yeah, so this one specific to Vista is super interesting. So when our company was acquired by Bullhorn, which at the time was a Vista portfolio company, we all had to take the assessment. It was brutal. I was convinced I failed it. I think we were all waiting to be fired, like, once the results came through. But the challenge was it really felt like there was this big disconnect from the job the person was doing and the actual assessment questions, which were the same for every single person. So do I really need to know how, like, what the volume of sand I should put into a hole with certain dimensions is? I'm like, like my kid in grade 8 math covered that this year, right? So if I learned that at some point, I had forgotten it by the time I took this test, right? So that felt a bit relevant. That being said, I'm a big believer in assessments in general, just not that one. But what I really learned from Vista and something they do exceptionally well is how they think about building and advancing their bench or that talent pipeline. So that's what they call the HPEL or HIPL program, which is the high performer entry level. So their assessment tries to identify who matches that criteria. And so I've basically adapted the different assessment tools that I've used over time to try to find who are those high potential people. But we do not use the same Vista assessment at all. That one I was not a fan of.
I'm going to throw out an opposing opinion on this, and I'd love to get your feedback. So I used the Wonderlic for 15 plus years over 3 different companies, and I found it to be a really good assessment of someone's ability to learn quickly. So not relevant at all for skill set, like the difference between obviously a finance person and a CS person, totally different. But if someone scored a 30 or above, I know that person's good. I can throw pretty much anything at them and they're going to pick it up and learn it quickly. So did you ever attempt to do a correlation between people's Wonderlic scores and your kind of qualitative assessment of their learning ability?
Not directly, only because, well, maybe not only, but one of the reasons is I did not have, actually I didn't have visibility to what those scores were. They're kind of like a locked in a vault secret for most people. But what I have done with the assessments that I've used, they tend to be more tied to work style. So what are the traits that are best suited for a specific job? And then what are the traits and characteristics or behaviors of a certain person? And is that the right fit, right? So for us, that's the way that I look at it. And so when I think about what a CSM or a project manager or some specialized role might need, there are going to be different traits and behaviors that are better suited, right? So that's how we've used the assessment. So at Clue, we don't have a specific assessment that a candidate takes, but what I've done is my entire hiring process and all the questions I'm asking are based on all the different tools I've used. And I have my own, I feel like I've made my own tool through this that I found to be pretty effective.
We usually hear in articles and podcasts that the one question I can ask in an interview that is that gives me the best signal. You have something like that that you found where there's one magic wand question where you get a lot of signal?
One that I really like asking, particularly for customer success, is I like when people can give me an examples of something they have done to help somebody not on their team. Because with customer success, it's all about being able to work cross-functionally. If you cannot work cross-functionally, you're not going to be able to support your customer in the way that you need to. So that's the one where you can really dig into examples and see, are they the type of person who can work cross-functionally, who likes to work cross-functionally? Do they like collaborating with other people? And if none of those things are true, they're going to be miserable in a CS role, by the way, but they're also not going to be very effective at it.
How do you handle a workforce that's capable, ambitious, and limited slots available for promotion and growth in, at least in leadership?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I guess depending on the type and stage of company, the answer might be a little bit different. So in a bigger company has a pretty predictable growth rate, there probably are an infinite number of roles. In a startup, I think it's quite different. I have definitely been influenced by and subscribed to a lot of Jim Collins' work and some of what he has written about around earning the right to grow is part of how I would try to paint the picture for people. So as an individual, as a department, as a company, we have to earn the right to grow. So we might have people who say, I want to be in leadership. There's no leadership opportunities here. It's like, well, if there's only five people on the team, like who are you going to lead? Of course, there's no leadership opportunities here. What can you do or what can we do to change that? So if the business grows, naturally, you need more people. When you have more people, naturally, you need more leaders. And so that's the mindset I try to put in place. So I would say for someone who is looking to get into leadership, don't join a company that isn't growing quickly, because it's really unlikely you're going to get that role over someone who's been in the company longer. But that's a reason why a lot of people join fast growing startups, right? Outside of that, I think you would really have to try to look for ways to give people special projects, stretch projects, delegate a lot of responsibility to people so that they are more empowered. But if they really want to move into leadership roles, those people are probably at some point not going to be staying at your company. And that can be okay. Like, you can develop great leaders who go to other places. And for both of you, probably you've worked with people like that. And when you see them go on to something else and do something bigger that they can do in the company they're at, that's a great feeling as a leader as well.
Adam, can we double click on that? How do you provide a career path for people who are ambitious and want to continue growing? What does that look like if it's vertical or maybe if it's horizontal?
I took this playbook and I ran it at Hootsuite. And within the sort of month two, we had put in this HIPL program. The very first person, I love this story, the very first person that I hired into that, and this is about 5 years ago now, is now a senior manager at Hootsuite. And she made her way up. All the credit to her, but she took advantage of the framework that was in place. And now she's responsible for a book of business that's 20 million. She could translate that into a much bigger job anywhere, right? And so at Clue, we're doing the exact same thing. The difference is we are working much more closely, or I'm working much more closely with our people in HR team, to the point where literally every single role in the company, every department, current role and then future planned roles, has a one-page success profile. And in these success profiles, it's very specific to each person so they can understand what does success look like in this role? What would I have to know? What are the competencies? And these are published publicly to everyone in the business. And so the idea is, not only do we want to provide career path progression within, so how do I go from a junior CSM to a senior CSM, but how do I move cross-functionally? And one of the great things about startups, and a lot of us have experienced this, is people will go from one team to another. So instead of a career ladder, it's very much the Kim Scott analogy of a career jungle gym. And for customer success, I love when that happens because you end up getting the customer lens into other teams, which is great for all of us. So I'm excited about that at Clue. We're a Series A stage company. So to have that framework in place and the partnership with the people team is awesome. So super excited about what that means for our future.
And that's it for this week's episode of Nuff Said. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, head over to your podcast platform of choice and make sure you're subscribed. And tune in next week for more real customer success strategies. Nuff Said.